Can you describe heaven? I can't either. As a matter of fact, the Bible itself has a hard time doing it. Some of the most interesting descriptions of heaven are found in the book of Revelation. It talks about a beautiful city with streets of gold where there's no need for a sun because the light of God keeps it bright and shining. In one place in Revelation it says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But other than that, you don't get much of a description of heaven in the Bible. In one place, St. Paul indicates that he had been taken up into heaven. As a matter of fact, he said he was up into the third heaven. And he says there in paradise, he heard things that were so wonderful they cannot be told, and which, as he puts it, man may not utter. I suppose that's what he meant when he wrote about heaven and said, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him." However, in spite of his inability to describe heaven, because human language simply broke down, words were inadequate to describe what he had seen, it was so wonderful that Paul often spoke of going there. In one place he writes, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." It was in that context that he wrote, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Do you think it's to your advantage to die? Do you think it's gain for you to go and be with Jesus in heaven as Paul did? I suspect most of us want heaven to be our home, but nobody's particularly homesick. We're like the little boy whose preacher asked him, "Do you want to go to heaven?" And the little boy replied, "Oh, no, sir." And the preacher was shocked. He said, "What?" He says, "You don't want to go to heaven when you die?" "Oh," said the little boy, "I thought you meant right now." I suspect most of us fall into that category. We want to go to heaven when we die, but nobody wants to catch the bus right now. So the first thing I want to say is that heaven, according to the Bible, is wonderful. It's beyond human description. Words simply break down. They're inadequate to capture the magnificence of heaven. The second thing I want to say is that there is a lot about heaven that we don't know and that we don't understand. When St. Paul visited the city of Thessalonica, he told them about Jesus, and a group of people in that city were converted. They became a body of believers, a church. And Paul had told them, "Listen, Jesus is coming again one day, and that's going to be wonderful. We're all going to be in heaven with Jesus." But as they waited for Jesus to come, some of them began to die. And they had a question about that, and they must have written a letter to Paul to ask him a question, because he answers the question in the book of Thessalonians. And the question must have gone something like this: "Dear Paul, thank you for coming to our city and telling us about Jesus. Accepting Him as Savior was the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to us. Life has been so different with Jesus in our hearts. We're looking forward, Paul, to the time when Jesus comes again. But as we're waiting for Him to come, some of our loved ones are dying. We have a question, Paul. What about our loved ones? What will happen to them when Jesus comes?" And in response to a question probably something like that, St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and this is what he said: "We would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be with the Lord always. And then St. Paul concludes, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So, when Jesus comes again to take all Christians to heaven, those who are already dead in the Lord, those who believed and who have passed away, Jesus will bring with him when he comes. Do you realize what that means? It means that all of us who love Jesus will, in the end, be together with him in heaven. People ask me, Pastor, will I be with my loved ones in heaven? And if they believe in Jesus, the answer is a resounding yes. As a matter of fact, in our scripture this morning, Jesus tells us that he's going to prepare a place so that we can be with him. Now, let me confess that there are a lot of things about heaven that I don't understand. I don't understand how I could truly be happy if some of my loved ones who don't believe in Jesus are not there. I don't understand how there can be happiness if there's no husband-wife relationship. For one of the most important things in my life is my relationship to my wife. And yet the Bible tells us that heaven is going to be perfect. I trust God that all of our questions will be answered, all of our fears laid to rest, because I believe the Bible when it tells us that we just can't imagine what wonderful things God has prepared for us. I know that heaven will be far more than I could ever hope or dream or imagine. So the first thing we can say about heaven is that it is beyond human description. It is so wonderful. And the second thing we can say is that while there is a lot we don't understand, we can trust God that heaven is going to be just as the Bible says it is. Now, the third thing I want to say is that heaven is not something that happens in the future. Some people have the idea that when life is over, that we will appear before the judgment seat of God and he will weigh our good deeds against our bad deeds. And if the balance tips in our favor, then we'll get to go to heaven. If you think that's how we get into heaven, I'm going to give you a little test right now, and if you pass this test, I promise you, you will get into heaven. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, and you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Here's the first question. Have you always put God first in your life? If you've never put God first, give yourself a 1. If you always put God first, give yourself a 10. If most of the time you put God first, give yourself a 5 or a 6. Here's question 2. Have you always loved your spouse or your children or your parents or your friends or your enemies perfectly? If your love has been slightly imperfect, give yourself a 5, or if you're exceptional, give yourself a 7. Here's question 3. Have you always tithed and been a good steward of all that God entrusted to you? Would you give yourself a 4 or maybe an 8? Here's question 4. Have you always witnessed for Jesus to your family, to your neighbors, to your colleagues, to your friends? How would you rate yourself there, a 5 or an 8 or maybe just a 2? Oh, by the way, I haven't given you all the questions yet, But I forgot to tell you that in order to pass this test, you must make 100. Does anybody have a perfect score so far? Nobody does. No point in taking the rest of the test, is there? But you get the point. To get into heaven on my own merits means to live a perfect life. And so far, only one person has done that. You see, I think that's what the Bible means when it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that's what St. Paul meant when he wrote, for no human being will be justified in his sight by works. So the first thing we can say about heaven is that it's wonderful. Second, there's a lot about heaven we don't understand, but we can trust God that it will be perfect. And thirdly, we find out we don't get into heaven on our own merits. Now, the fourth thing I want to do is to answer the question, how do I get into heaven? Jesus gave us the answer to that question in our scripture this morning. Did you catch it? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Does that answer our question? Isn't that what John 3:16 says? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal heaven in his life. Let me ask you this question. When you get to heaven, and God says to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What will you say? I had occasion to visit with a friend recently, and I asked him that question. And do you know what he said? He said, well, I've always treated people fairly, but we've already seen nobody can pass the test to get into heaven. Do you know what I told him? I said, when I get to heaven, and God says to me, Andy, why should I let you into my heaven? The only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to point at Jesus, and I'm going to say, because of him. And I said, do you know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come over, and he's going to put his arm around me, and he's going to say, Father, whatever he owes, I've paid for it. Now, the fifth thing I want to say is this. Accepting Jesus is not something you do when you get to heaven. Either you do it here and now, or you don't do it at all. Heaven isn't something that will be decided for us when we get there. It's decided right here. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, you already are guaranteed heaven. If you haven't, and until you do accept him, you're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. If you don't have eternal life right now and you died today, you would not go to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said Jesus. If you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you already have eternal life. Heaven for you has been decided. And the question I want to ask you this morning is this. In your life, has heaven happened yet? Has it? Then I'd like to add this one last thing. If heaven has already happened for you, if you have received Jesus as personal Savior and thereby have eternal life, then I want to ask you, do you have heaven's lifestyle? Do you have heaven's lifestyle? Does that make sense to you? Jesus says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He says, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. And if heaven happens now, so does heaven's lifestyle. So that's a question too. First, has heaven happened yet? That is, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? And if heaven has happened, do you have heaven's lifestyle? Ed Beck once played basketball at the University of Kentucky. Today he's a minister and he doubles as a part-time chaplain to our U.S. Olympic team. At one time, he said he thought heaven would be like all those star athletes, that everybody would be like that, that they were all geared up to run the race and win. And as he watched them train at the Air Force Academy, he thought they were the best there was. But one day he wandered down to the area where they were running the Special Olympics. And as you know, the Special Olympics features the physically and mentally limited persons of all ages and of all races and from all kinds of backgrounds. And he watched while eight of these Special Olympians lined up to run for the world's record in the 100-yard dash. And the eight charged out of the starting blocks when the gun went off. However, a frail young boy in the race suddenly tripped and fell to the asphalt and began to cry. And what happened next belongs to the lifestyle of heaven. The other seven heard, and all of them stopped. And they came back, and they helped the fallen boy up. And one large, overweight girl bent down and kissed his skinny knee where it was all bloody. And she said, "That will help it feel better." And then all eight joined hands and walked together to the finish line. That's heaven's lifestyle, to walk together, hand in hand. Listen, has heaven happened yet for you? And if it has, are you living heaven's lifestyle now? You see, if there's no heaven in you here, there'll be no heaven for you there. Let us pray.